Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to be getting into a brand new series on Wednesday night, starting tonight, on the life of Elijah. The life of Elijah. I think that Elijah is a great Bible character, and there's so much that God has for us written down in His eternal word about the life of Elijah, and I think it's going to be a very helpful series as we go through this. I think that there's many biblical principles and helps that are available to us through the study of the life of Elijah, so I trust that you'll look forward to coming out every Wednesday night as we go through this study. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you'll stand with me, we're just going to read one verse tonight. This is the first mention of Elijah in the Scriptures. After this, we find that there are several other mentions and the life of Elijah in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament has several passages of Scriptures that refer to Elijah. And so we'll be looking at some of that in an introductory here tonight. But let's read here, chapter 17, first mention of Elijah, and we see how God presents him. The Bible says in chapter 17, verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you for church and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together and just, Lord, to sense your presence in our midst and to be blessed and to have our spirits encouraged and challenged. Lord, just to be able to leave and to accomplish what you have us to accomplish individually and as a church collectively. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for this congregation that have come together tonight. And I just pray that you would use the preaching and the teaching of thy word to speak to each and everyone that's here. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here that Elijah suddenly and somewhat dramatically appears before a wicked king, Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings over Israel, did a lot of things, and marrying Jezebel and establishing Baal worship in Israel. And we'll get back and study some of that as we continue. But one of the most wicked kings ever to live. And we find that Elijah, the first mention of him, is somehow he gets into the king's presence and he stands upon the very words that God told him to say, and he announces God's judgment upon Israel. I mean, what a bold individual. And this judgment would begin and it would end by the words of Elijah. He's able to tell him that. Now, he very definitely makes King Ahab realize that he's standing there representing God. And through what God's representation and what God had him there to say is that God was going to judge Israel. He was going to shut up heaven and there would be no more rain. And these years, not just weeks or months, but this drought would last for years. And the only way that it would end would be by his word, by the very words of Elijah, who represented an almighty God. Now, I love Elijah. As we continue and we study the life of Elijah, you're going to find that he is a no-nonsense, highly confrontational, fundamentally sound prophet of God, and I could say independent fundamental Baptist preacher. You'll find that Elijah is one of those kind of guys. He would represent and serve God. Can I tell you that all of us ought to, and I hopefully will, identify with Elijah before this series is over, because all believers today are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we represent him. And as we have the very words of God, then we are to represent and to present God's words to a lost and dying people. And so all believers today are ambassadors and are to present, are to represent and to serve Christ as Elijah was there to represent God as a prophet of God's and to say exactly what God had him there to say. Elijah, I think quite possibly, is one of the great biblical heroes of the faith. I mean, if you're wanting to point your children to someone to look to and to be encouraged by and help them to study, you ought to have them study the life of Elijah. Because not only our children, but each one of us, he's someone that we ought to learn from. And as we study the life of Elijah, I trust that he will be someone that God will use to speak to us and to encourage us to be the servants of God, representing him in these last days as God would have us to represent him. Now, there's much about Elijah that we're going to get into as we study the life, but I want to, first of all, reveal some things concerning the person of Elijah and what the Bible says, what the New Testament scriptures say about Elijah. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. When the angel of the Lord came to teach about the coming of John the Baptist, as he was telling John's mother and father the type of child that they would have and the plans that God would have for John the Baptist. In Luke in chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." Now, Elias, the New Testament, is Elijah in the Old Testament. And when you see that word Elias, that is the very same person of Elijah, Old Testament. And so John the Baptist, it would not be Elijah, but he would come, the Bible says, he would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've done a life study on the life of John the Baptist and what a powerful study that was. And the Bible says that John would come in the very same spirit and power. And it refers back to Elijah, Old Testament, the example of Elijah. So if they wanted to know how God would use their son, they would look back and study the life of Elijah and realize that their son was going to be like Elijah. He was going to come in the very same spirit and he had the very same power as Elijah would have to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen to that. Can I tell you that I believe God would have every born-again believer today to live in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And in order for us to do that, I think it would be very helpful for us to learn about Elijah, about what kind of spirit he had, what kind of power he had, and look to that. So first of all, John the Baptist would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah was one of only two humans who did not taste of death. Only two ever to be born of woman that did not experience a physical death. The first one, in our study of Noah, we looked at this one, but in Genesis in chapter 5 and verse 24, and I believe God has a purpose for this, and we'll see that in just a minute as well, but Genesis chapter 5, in verse 24, we find the first one that did not experience a physical death was Enoch. And the Bible says in verse 24 of Enoch, chapter 5, verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." This man walked so closely with God that God spared him going through a physical death and just called him on to glory. So we find that there was one Enoch, and then the only other one would have been Elijah. 2 Kings, in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2, and we'll get into this as we study his life as well, as he's turning over his responsibilities to his successor, Elisha. But 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder," parted Elijah and Elisha, "and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." And he knew he was going to go up into heaven. He knew, and he told Elisha, as I go up, if you're with me, then you can have the double portion of the what you've asked for, the power of Elijah. But he knew, somehow he knew, that he was not going to experience a physical death, but that God was just going to take him on to glory. What a great thought about that. Now, again, only two men ever to not experience that. I mean, that's something that, as we understand that, helps us to want to learn more about the life of that man. He was one of two Old Testament saints to represent, to be present on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, look there with me. I just want to get you excited about our study in the life of Elijah, understanding what the Bible says about him. In Matthew chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 1, "And after 6 days, Jesus taking Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them." Now, this would impact their lives greatly. "He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "talking with him." Two Old Testament saints. The only two of the Old Testament that actually appeared there at this transfiguration of Christ was two. Now, one of the reasons many believe that they appeared in the New Testament talking to Jesus Christ, that they believe, and I believe as well, that these will be the two prophets who will preach during the last 3.5 years during the tribulation. Once the church is taken out of the way, and there's going to be two prophets that are going to stand upon this earth and are going to preach the gospel. Now, Revelation chapter 11. We know there's going to be two. Some say, well, if Enoch was just called up to heaven, why not Enoch and Elijah? The only two. And you could have an argument there. It might be Enoch. But Enoch was not the one standing with Christ at on the Mount of Transfiguration. He does not appear in the New Testament. But we do find Moses and Elijah appearing in the New Testament and speaking to Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we know that whoever is here, whoever these two prophets are that are going to preach the gospel in the tribulation period, the 3.5 years in the tribulation period, they're going to preach Christ. Yeah. Amen? So because of that, many believe, as do I, that because they were the two that appear at the Mount of Transfiguration, that they will be the two that's represented in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth," which equals 3.5 years. This is a 7-year tribulation, and this would be the end of the second half of the tribulation when all the different judgments are being passed upon the earth and all the things. There's going to be a witness. There's going to be two witnesses that God says are his witnesses. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, standing before Satan, standing before the Antichrist, and preaching the gospel. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." They're going to have the power of God. But I like this in verse 6, which also helps us to remind it about Elijah being one of them. "These two have power to shut heaven that it rain not." Well, Elijah has some experience there. Amen. In the study, we find Elijah coming on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. And what's he do to first? He shuts the windows of heaven. He stops the rain. Okay, and so we find here, "And these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecies, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. We know that's going to take place. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the gate city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord is crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, can I tell you that this is a powerful passage of Scripture because this represents New Age technology. This represents 21st century technology. Now, this was written some 2,000 years ago, the New Testament. The full revelation was given 2,000 years ago, and God puts in the book of Revelations 2,000 years ago that during this time that the whole world will be able to view one single spot on this earth at the same time. How did he know that? That's a great guess, wasn't it? He's Almighty God. Amen? He knows all things. He is eternal. He is omniscient. This is God. Just one of many areas that we study the Word of God that is proof positive without the shadow of a doubt that God is who He says He is. And 2,000 years ago, when he had John on the Isle of Patmos and he revealed these revelations to John, and John wrote these things, John wrote this just as it's written, just as we read it today, and there was going to be a time when the whole world could view one location around the world. It has to be television. There had to be technology as we have it today. They wouldn't have known that then, but surely God would. Isn't that great? And so not only do we find Elijah here, I believe mentioned as one of the two prophets that's going to stand and preach with power because he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Almighty God in the last days, during their tribulation rather. And the whole world, when God allows them, and he does this for a purpose, he allows them after they have finished their responsibilities, after they have finished what God had them here to do, can I tell you that you can't, Satan cannot take your life, and you can't, God will enable you to accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish. If you're a servant of the Lord, you will never die prematurely. Now, if you're not serving God, it might be the judgment of God that he takes your life, but if you're in the will of God, it is impossible for you to die prematurely because God will be glorified through your life and through your death. The Bible tells us that. And so God empowered them until after he was finished. And then he allowed them for the whole world to see. For a test, who knows what? God has purposes. But the Bible says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice after they see them, their dead bodies, 3 days and a half, they shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They're not even going to give them the respect to burying them. They're going to be viewing their bodies for this period of time dead, and the world is going to rejoice. But verse 11 says this, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. How did they torment them? By preaching the gospel, preaching the truth, preaching sin. And because they did not want to be convicted of their sin, they were tormented when the preacher got up and called their lifestyle sin. That happens in this church about every service. Somebody's torment because there's conviction, and conviction will torment until you either do one of two things. You either get right with God or you just leave. I don't want anybody to leave. I want everyone to get right with God. I'm just going to preach the word. Amen. That's what we need to do. People need to hear the truth. But if you're not wanting to live the truth will torment you. The truth that there is a hell. And that everyone who fails to receive Jesus Christ is going to die and go to hell. That is torment to somebody that's not saved. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to hear that. You shouldn't be talking about a place of hell. You shouldn't be talking about those negative things. I come to church, I want to be entertained. I want to have a smile. I want to be, listen. Praise the Lord for preaching on God's love, because there's no greater love than the love of God. But we also have to preach the whole counsel of God, and there is judgment to come. And so we find here, they represent Christ, and they're preaching the gospel. They're standing against the sins of the world, and it's torment to those that are living in sin that do not want to be convicted of their sin. And so they're going to die, and after they die, then they're going to rejoice thinking, we got the victory. That preacher's dead. Well, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Amen. Yeah, that's right. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. So that's in the book of Revelation. I don't want to get too caught up in that, but I want to help you to see that God had a purpose and a plan for the life and the testimony of Elijah. It's a powerful testimony. It's a powerful life that God has recorded for us to study and to learn from. One passage of Scripture in the New Testament that I want to spend the rest of my time here tonight in this passage of Scripture is found in James chapter 5. Even though Elijah is mentioned in several Scriptures, in James chapter 5, I believe it is the most powerful example for us to learn from. Because I believe Elijah was an example for the believers to look to in faith and power with God. God has given to us a tool of communication, enabling us to communicate with Him, to draw from His strength, to draw from His power. And that tool of communication is called prayer. And that prayer is powerful. Yeah. One of the reasons we meet on Wednesday night as a church is to be able to tap into that power of prayer. Amen? So we have a prayer sheet so that we can pray one for another as we have been commanded to do so. And we can tap into that idea of a unity and praying one for another and seeing God work through answering prayer. Prayer is a very powerful tool that God has given to us. In James, in chapter 5, it says much about prayer. In verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. How powerful that is. But then look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer, communication with God, of a righteous man, somebody is living as God wants them to live, availeth much. And right after that statement is made, he turns us to the example of who? Elijah. Amen. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Wow. Has God given to us this understanding of the power of prayer? And then he says, understanding the power of prayer and how it is my will for you to pray one for another, he then turns us to this example that we're going to be studying over the next few months. He turns us to this example of Elijah, a righteous man. Can I tell you that any born-again believer can live righteously? Righteousness, simply stated, is just what living by what's right in God's eyes. Righteousness is not what you think is right in your eyes or what the world thinks is right in their eyes. It's what is right in God's eyes. What God says is right, and what God says is wrong, what God says to do and what God says not to do. Righteousness is according to what God says is right. Yeah. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have the insight to be able to communicate with God, and you have the insight to be able to understand the Scriptures, because the very same Holy Spirit that dwells within you, that came within you through salvation, now He will reveal to you the very truths of Scripture. When you read the Scriptures and when you hear the Word of God being preached, the Holy Spirit of God, His Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit, will help you to understand what God says is right. So if you're saved, every born-again believer can live a righteous life if you choose to. And no one else can choose for you. And that's why God says that we'll give an account of ourselves. Mom, you'll not be able to stand before God and give an account for your children. Children, you'll not be able to look to God and say, wait a minute, I want you to ask Mom about that. I want you to turn to Dad and let him answer that. No, you can't do that. You will give an account for yourselves, because only you can determine whether you're going to live righteously or not. Now, praise the Lord for the Christian parents who raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You give them the best chance possible to live a righteous life. But they still have to choose it. They still have to choose it. So Elijah, in his example for us of having the power with God, first of all, a righteous man. He was subject to like passions, which means that he had a sin nature just like you and me. Elijah was not a supernatural human being. Elijah was just like you and I. That means he had to fight off a sin nature as you and I have to fight off a sin nature. He had temptations just like you and I have temptations. He had to choose righteousness, just like you and I have to choose righteousness. If you don't, no one to blame but yourself. You get to choose how you live. You do not get to choose how God judges you. Amen. God determines what chastisement to bring into your life. God determines what kind of judgment. So, Elijah, a great example, because he was a man just like we are. He had a sin nature just like you and I do. But he chose righteousness. He prayed. He prayed earnestly. Through prayer, Elijah was able to do great things. Through prayer, and it being God's will, through his prayer, he shut up heaven for 3.5 years. It didn't rain for 3.5 years at his word. He personally, as a man, could not have done that. But as one who represented God, he had the power of God upon his life. Jesus would teach in John chapter 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if you know what my word is, you know what my will is, and you pray for my will to be done, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's Elijah. If you abide in me, righteousness, and my words abide in you, knew exactly what God had him there to say. You should ask what you will. Shut the heaven. Stop it from raining. Control the weather. Basically, that's what he did. He controlled the weather for 3.5 years. It shall be done unto you. So a righteous man who as a servant could, what does it say, availeth much. That can be applied to any born-again believer. That can be applied to every one of us in here tonight if you're saved. You could avail much or accomplish great things through prayer. That's basically what I'm saying. He availed much because he accomplished great things through prayer. through prayer. He would boldly come on the scene. Go back with me to our start. Just about done here. The Bible didn't even lead up to Elijah coming. This point didn't tell us much about it. Now, it tells us much in this one verse, and we're going to study that next week. But it just, all of a sudden, I mean, Ahab and Jezebel are leaving Israel to worship Baal. They are persecuting the prophets of God. They are trying to stamp out, if you will, God's will for their lives. And now they're turning away from an almighty creator, God taking his own children away from him to serve a false god in Baal and Baal worship. And God sends Elijah. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, there's a lot there, we'll study that next week, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, there's still a God in heaven. And I want you to know I'm here to represent him when he says, before whom I stand. I want you to understand I'm not here in my own power. I'm not here in my own doing my own thing. I'm here to represent an almighty creator God. That's us. That's ambassadors for Christ. Not here doing my own thing. I have a commission from an almighty God. I am to be his servant. And being his servant, I am to live righteously. My testimony ought to back up what I'm preaching. He would boldly come on the scene and present to King Ahab exactly what God told him to say. There shall not be any dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He made it clear it wasn't Elijah. He was just representing the word of God. He was God's servant. Doing God's work. Can I tell you tonight, in this beginning study, this beginning message, I would hope that every one of us would say, I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to live righteously so that I can have the power of God upon my life. I want to live righteously so that I know that when I pray, they get through the ceiling. They get to the mercy seat of God. We should desire to be God's servants, here to represent him. One promise that God gives, I want you to see. There's many promises, but this one in Isaiah, and we'll close with this, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. God would give this promise to the nation of Israel, who were here to represent him. Israel was established as God's chosen people to represent God to the world. Jesus came to establish his church so that his church would represent God to the world. His church is made up of born-again believers. Thus, every born-again believer is to represent God to the world. Your testimony, your actions, what you do, how you do it, what you say, how you say it, is to represent God. God gives this promise to the nation of Israel in verse 9 and 10, chapter 41. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you truly want to be a servant of God's, and you commit yourself to what God says His servants need to commit themselves to, righteousness, and presenting what thus saith the Lord, you can claim those verses. You can claim those promises. And God will strengthen you to do and accomplish whatever God has you here to accomplish. We have an example of Elijah. And I'm excited about getting into this series because I think that it will be a help, a blessing, and an encouragement to us as we study how God used this great Bible hero, Elijah. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.